Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Chav Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Ches on the base, three lines from the bottom. It says Rabbi Shlomo Gevi'im, the fact that there are, as we discussed at the end of our previous shir, Gevi'im on the Menorah, and says the Gemara, there were Esrim V'Shnayim. There were a total of 22 Gevi'im. And the Gemara explains how we get to this number. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Rabbi Menorah Avar Gevi'im. That means on the middle branch of the menorah, the branch from which all the other branches of the menorah emanate, says the Gemara, there were four gevim, v'ksiv, and then the pasuk says, shloisha gevim shukad bekana echad kafta v'ferach, shloisha gevim shukad bekana echad kafta v'ferach, kain l'sheshes hakonim hayoytsim v'menorah. So the way we get to the number, explains the Gemara, Arba Didab, there were four Gevi'im on that middle branch, that as we just explained. And then there were another set, three on the top, for a total of seven. And now we have Tamnisar Gevi'im, and then we had 18 on the other Gevi'im. So we have a total, we have 18 on the other branches, 4 on the mid-branch. So we have a total of Esratat and 22 Gevi'im. Kaftarim Nami. How do we get to the Echad also, says the Gemara? How do we get to the total of 11? Kaftarim Trey the Day. That means, again, on the middle corner, there were two Kaftarim. And then we have, as the Pasuk says, Menar Arba Gevi'im, that means there were in the middle two Gevi'im, v'sheisha dekanim, and six on the other kanim, as the pasuk says, shloisha gevi'im shekanim bekan echad kafta v'ferach, shloisha gevi'im shekanim bekan echad kafta v'ferach, kein l'sheisha sakanim ayotzim v'nairam, the kafter, and the kafter in the middle one, the kafter in the middle of the middle one, the kafter that from the one that from the upper two konim, hachat sari. So that's how we have the 6 plus 5 to have 11. Ella asked the Gemara, prochim tishminolon. How do we know there were 9 prochim? Answers the Gemara, prochim treidi dob. There were 2 prochim on the Konam Tsai, as the Pasuk says, Umanara Arba Gvim Shugadu Kafter Vircha Feha, that means Prochel means 2. So we have 2 there, Vishish the Konim. On each one of the Konim, we have 6. So Tamnahava, if there are 2 in the middle and 6 on all sides, so ask the Gemara, we only have 8. And you just said, asked the Gemara, that we had 9. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Shalman, Ksiv, Adirecha Apircha Mikshehi. The Pasuk says that there was one more Perach on top of the leg of the Menorah. If we add that one, we have a total of 9. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Gavishal Menorah. The height of the menorah, Tisha Tvachim, was 9 Tvachim. Esrei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, it says in the Mishnah, Masech the Tamid, Rav Simi Bach Esrei, Rav Simi Bach Yilarav, it says, Evan Hoyslof, Nei Menorah, there was a stone in front of the menorah, Uba Shalosh Malas. On that stone, there were 3 steps, Shalei Koyin, Oymer, the Meitav, Senoiris, and the Koyin would stand on it, when he cleaned out the menorah. So if we're going to say, ask the Gemara, that the menorah is, the way to understand the Gemara's question, is that the menorah was 18 tefachim tall. So now we understand why a kohen has to go up to be able to clean out the menorah. He can't just stand on the floor. Because 18 tefachim is the height of your average human being. So since 18 tefachim was the height of your average human being, and the Kohen when he's cleaning out the menorah, has to be able to stand on top and see what's doing inside. So that's the way the Rambam, the Pirish Mishnah's theorem, Masechta Tamid, explains. And that's why we understand why they need to have steps. But the Gemara's question now is that if the menorah is only 9 tefachim tall, so then why do we need the steps? There are other explanations. Tosfos says that the average height of a person is actually 18 tefachim, or 3 amos, with the head. So if that's the case, and 3 amos without the head, and 4 amos with the head. If that's the case, to ask the Achronim, so a person is taller than the menorah. And therefore, even if we're saying that the menorah was 18 tefachim tall, why was it necessary for him to have this step to see what's going on? So to which the Rishonim respond, a question that comes up often in Shas, that there's a question, how much is an amma? Is an amma 5 tefachim or an amma 6 tefachim? And there are many suggest that there's a difference between the amma that was used in the Beis HaMikdash and the amma that is used not in the Beis HaMikdash. And that the amma in the Beis HaMikdash was a 6 tefach amma. If we say that the amma in the Beis HaMikdash was a 6 tefach amma, but the amma, when we speak about a person being 4 amas tall, is a 5 tefachim amma, so the 18 tefachim of the menorah using the 6 tefach amma are equivalent, really not to 18 tefachim, they're equivalent to 24 tefachim. And therefore, even if you'll say that a kohen is 4 tefachim big, 4 amas big, that's only 20 tefachim. And that's why we need to have, as we're learning now, that we could understand why they needed to have the step. But that would only, again, be understandable if we're going to explain that the menorah was 20 tefachim, was 18 tefachim tall. But if we're learning that the menorah was only 9 tefachim tall, why was the step necessary? Amalei, to which Rav, when he was asked this question by Rav Simi, said to him, Simiat, and the Mefarshim here discuss what was his meaning when saying, are you Simi? One pshat is that Rav never picked up his eyes. And since Rav never picked up his eyes, he could not be confident that the person who's asking the question was Simi. And that's why he said Simiat. Another pshat was that Simi was actually, Simi Bachia was actually Rav's grandson. And therefore, when Simi was speaking to his grandfather Rav, so out of love that he had to his grandson, he said, Simi, he called him by his name. Simiat, are you Simi? And you're asking me this kind of question? Ki Kamina, when did I say that the menorah, when is the Mishnah say that the menorah was only 9 tefachim tall? That's misfas konim lamala. It's only if we measure it from where the branches start coming out. But the menorah itself was certainly tall, was certainly taller, and that's why we needed, that's why you needed to have the kohen have these steps. The Ravid explains that the Ravid says he's not sure why did they need to have 3 steps. So the Ba'at Tanura says that the Torah uses the word halal 3 times when it speaks about the menorah. The pasuk says ba'aloischas aneiros. The pasuk says v'helas nerasah, and the pasuk says lahalas neratamid. So since the Torah uses the word ba'aloischa or derivative of that word 3 times, that's why they chose to make a step stool with 3 steps. The Imri Emes asks that the pasuk says, "V'leisala al mamalaf al mizbechi." We're not allowed to take steps to go up to the mizbeach. To which the Imri Emes says that that's not a question because that pasuk is only speaking about the mizbeach, our Gemara is referring to the Menorah. The halacha of the Mizbeach and the halacha of the Menorah are not the same. But then he says that we know that Gemara says that the exact dimensions of everything in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan were very precise. So how could they add three steps and put them into the Beis HaMikdash? You're not allowed to change anything that's in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Imri Emes, because of that question, suggests that it wasn't really that they didn't really build something permanent in the Beis HaMikdash. It was only like a step stool. And since it was only like a step stool, that's why they were able to put it there, and it's not considered that they're adding to the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. Ksiv says the Gemara. The Gemara continues to speak about the Menorah. And the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, as it speaks about how Shlomo HaMelech constructed the Beis HaMikdash. And it says, V'yah Shlomo es kol hakelim, asher beis elokim, v'asam neiros v'nerusayim, v'aperech, v'neiros v'amakachayim, zofu michaloi zov, michloi zov. Ask them, my michloi zov. What is the definition of michloi zov? Says the Gemara Amar of Ami, shekilsel kol zov sogur shashloima. The Menorah used up all of the beautiful silver, beautiful. So the Menorah used up all the beautiful gold that Shlomo Melech had. Damar Yudam Rav, Esa Menorahs Asa Shlomo. Shlomo Melech made 10 Menorahs. The Kol Achas VeAchas Hevilei Elv Kikazov, and in building for those Menorahs, he brought 1,000 Kikazov. V'Chnisu Elapam Mekor. And he put them each time, each one was put into the furnace 1,000 times in order to refine it. V'mido el kikar. And after refining it that many times, it went down to being the weight of a kikar zov. Eini asked the Gemara, is that true that the building of the Menorah used up all of the gold that Shlomo Melech had? Ask the Rav Aksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, V'kod kli mashka melech, Shlomo zov, V'kod kli beis yael varam zov, sogur. Everything that the Shlomo Melech used was gold. Ein kesef nechshev emei Shlomo lemula. Muma. Silver was meaningless in the time of Shlomo Melech. And the reason it was meaningless is because they had so much gold. Says the Gemara, Zov Sogu Kamrinan. Yes, gold in the time of Shlomo Melech was very meaningless. But the Zov Sogur, which is a much more expensive gold, that gold was not as available. Ask the Gemara, Michasa Kalahai. So the Gemara just said that every time they refined Shlomo Melech's gold, it came down to a kikar. Ask the Gemara, is that how it happened? V'tayin Reb Yosef Reb Yudaymer, Ma'is V'yosef Menorahs Beis HaMikdash Yisera El Shel Moshe. The Menorah that Shlomo HaMelech made was weighed more than Moshe Rabbeinu's Menorah. Din Azov Kukdunani, the amount of a Din Azov. V'chnesu Shlomo Panim Lekor, and they tried to refine it 80 times. V'magdi Al Kikar, so it went down to the right weight. So we see that one that took 80 times that was put into to be refined. And says the Gemara, really it was refined once. But in the Naira of the Beis HaMikdash, that it was so refined, Kivan the Kaikai, in order to get a little more out, it had to be put in 80 times. So we just learned that Shlomo HaMelech built 10 Menorahs. But the Gemara will teach us later that even though Shlomo HaMelech put up 10 Menorahs, the Menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was used. Others say that it doesn't mean that only the Menorah that Moshe built was used. They started every day they lit all the Menorahs, but the Menorah that they began with and that for Moshe Rabbeinu was the menorah that they lit first, and after they lit that menorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, then they lit the others. Another pshat that I saw is that they had that they chose some. They had all these menorahs, and they would choose which menorah they chose to light. As we've been learning, there were three steps in front of the menorah, and we're trying to explain why they needed the three steps. We gave one explanation. Another explanation that I saw from the Chesh of Sofer is when we light the menorah, there are many halachas. One halacha is that as Rashi teaches us in Chumash, Shtei Shel Heves Oilem Eleah. The menorah has to be lit in a way that the flame goes up, by itself. Another is that it has to have the step, as Rashi says in Baal Yisrael. So to have both of these pshatim, that's why we had three steps. One is to teach us that we have to do everything that we could do, that we have to go up the steps. And on the other hand, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Siyata D'Shmaya. So the combination is the third step represents the Siyata D'Shmaya, that we do what we have to do and they do what they have to do, and that's when we have a perfect menorah. Says the Gemara, Amrav Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amrav Yonason. My Diksiv, the Pasuk says, Al menorah tahira yarech esaneris lufnei Hashem tamid. So the question, of course, is that the Gemara wants to focus on is why is the menorah called menorah hatahira? Says the Gemara, the reason it has that name is shiardu maseh memakim tahara. The Shemayim, which of course is the makim tahara, the most pure place in the world, that's where the menorah came down from. Ask the Gemara, Elamiata, if we're saying that when the Torah uses the word Tahira, it's referring to something that came down. It's referring to something that came down from Shemayim. So ask the Gemara if that's the case, Elamata, when the pasuk uses the word Ala Shulchan Ator, when it speaks about the Shulchan Ator, doesn't mean Shiyar the Masav Makom Tor. And what the Gemara means to ask is that we have no reference that the Shulchan came down from the Shemayim. So if that's what the word Tahar means, why does it say Tahar? It says the word Tahar, B'chlal Shi Tamei. What the Pasuk means to say with the word Tahar, it's the Pasuk is coming to teach us that the Shulchan is Mekabel Tumah. So ask the Gemara, Hachinami, if that's what the word Tahira means, so why don't we say Tahira means by the menorah the same definition, Mechlal Shitameya, that the menorah can be Mekabel Tumah. Answers the Gemara. Bishlam HaHasam, when we speak about the Shulchan, so there the Torah has to teach us that it's able to be Mekabel Tumah, based on what Rish Lakish taught us. Dama Rish Lakish Maidik Siv, the Pasuk says, as we just said, in describing the Shulchan, the Pasuk says, Al Shulchan Atar. And what do we learn from the words Al Shulchan Atar? Mechlal Shutame. That the Shulchan kibbe Mekabel Tumah. On which the Gemara asks, is that true? That the Shulchan kibbe Mekabel Tumah? The halacha is that the Shulchan is a kli eitz. It's made out of wood. And the halacha is that kli eitz also lenachas and a Mekabel Tumah. A Shulchan, something made out of wood, which is meant to be stationary, is not Mekabel Tumah. And even though, as we know, the Shulchan was coated by gold, it's still called, since the Pasuk calls it Shulchan Eitz, that's why it's called a Shulchan, it's called a Kli Eitz. Furthermore, that we do know that the Shulchan was moved, because we know that all the years that they were in the Mishkan, they were in the Midbar, they moved. So why are we calling it a Kli Eitz Ha'asil Menachas? So the Tosfos responds that whenever they moved with the Kelei HaMishkan, The Klei Mishkan stayed where they were supposed to be. They moved in formation. That's why it's still considered, even though it's being moved, it's still being considered a Klei Eitz Hasi L'Nachas. I saw that the Kotzker used to say that the word Chosen and the word Nachas are made up of the same letters. He says that a Klei Eitz Hasi L'Nachas, a Chosen, is supposed to bring Nachas when it's stationary, when it stays home and builds a beautiful Jewish home. Ella, so the question is, why do we, how can we say that the Shulchan Mekabel Tumah, it's meant to be stationary? Ella, says the Gemara, what it means, how do we know that's the halacha? The Pasuk says, regarding Tumah Shrotzim, V'chol HaShiyip Alem Mehem B'maysam Yitma M'kol Kliyetz Oy Beger Oy Or Asak. And Chazal teaches us in Masechet Chagiga that Kliyetz has to be like sack. It has to be something which has a receptacle, and it has to be something that's moved. If Kliyetz doesn't have those characteristics, then it's not Mekabel Tumah. Ella, why is this Shulchan, which is a Kliyetz, Mekabel Tumah? Says the Gemara, because Malamed Shemagbin Oysoi Loi Regolim, they would lift it when the oil of regalim were in Yerushalayim, or maralam lechem upon him, and they would show them the lech, and they would show them the lechem upon him, and show them roeu chameschem b'fnei hamokim. The shulchan demonstrates the great love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to Klal Yisrael. Asking Ramaychi baschem, how is that demonstrated? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. There was a wonderful nes that happened with the lechem upon him. Shesaluka kasidura, that they, when they took the bread out of the shulchan, as we've learned so many times, every Shabbos they would take out the old bread and put in the new bread. It was still warm, like when it was put in. Shnemar, as the pasuk discusses the lechem upon him in Shmuel, losam lechem upon him b'yom melachai. The lechem was warm when it was taken off the shulchan as it was put into the shulchan. But what we're learning from here is that they would pick it up. And since we see from here that they would pick it up, that's a proof that it's not a kliyetz asur l'nachas. The Mishnah Melech points out that they didn't actually, there's a machloikis exactly what, how was that done. And the Rambam says that they would actually pick up the shulchan and take it out from the Beis HaMikdash to the people sitting in the Azara. And the Mishnah Melech says that our Gemara is actually a raya to the opinion of the Rambam, because our Gemara is saying that they picked it up. If they and moved it, if they didn't really move it out, it wouldn't be our Gemara that says it's not a Klios L'Nachas, would be difficult to understand. They picked up the shulchan, and that's why it's not considered Klei Eitz L'Nachas. Why, ask the Mefarshim, did they have to pick up the shulchan? What they wanted to show off was the bread, and that they just should have taken out was the bread. So the Sefer Tzion Kedoshim explains that the nes that the shulchan represents was through the nes of the bread, was through the shulchan. Because what they were showing was that what kept the bread fresh and warm, that's the power of the shulchan. That's why, since they wanted to show that off, that's why they had to pick up the shulchan and not just the bread. Another shot that I saw is that the halach is, and we've discussed this, is that the bread must remain on the shulchan all the time. So since the bread must remain on the shulchan all the time, there is no option of taking just the bread out. Ella hocha, says the Gemara, that when we go back to speaking about the menorah, taira, and the taira uses the word taira, b'chlal shi tameya, is it possible to could say that it's tamei? Pshita, of course, the menorah. Why does the Torah have to say tahira? It's obvious that the menorah can be makabel tumah, because the Naira is Kli Matchas Nenu. It's made out of gold. And we know that metal does not have the same halacha as wood. And Kli Matchas, a metal keli, is always Mekabel Tumah. So why did the Torah have to use the word Torah? It goes back to what we said, that what is the Torah trying to teach us with the word Torah? Ella Shiyardu Maseh Mekum Tahara, to say that the menorah came down ready-made from the Mekum Tahar, from Shemayim. It's very interesting that I saw that Rav Gedalia Shor Zatzal in a Sefer Ol Gedalia says that they used to make a big issue about the Shabbos after Shavuos. They used to call Shabbos after Shavuos Shabbos noch Shavuos, Shabbos after Shavuos. Why did they make such a big deal about that Shabbos more than any other Shabbos of the year? So Rav Shor Zatzal explains a beautiful verse. The Shor Zatzal explains a beautiful verse, and he says it in the name of the Chartkin Rebbe. Rav Shor Zatzal explains that we're learning in our Gemara that they used to pick up the Shulchan, and when they picked up the Shulchan, they showed everybody how the bread was warm. We explained a few moments ago, it was specifically the Shulchan that was picked up. It wasn't enough just to take out the lechem upon him. But now the issue is that what day of the week did they switch the bread that they could show that the bread was still warm 8 days later from when they prepared it? It was on Shabbos. So explained Rav Shor Zatzal that all the Yom Tovim, Pesach and Sukkot have a Shabbos. They're Yom Tovim that have 7, 8 days, so it's going to have to be a Shabbos amongst that those Yom Tovim. Since there's going to be a Shabbos amongst those days, so during the Shabbos, whatever day of Yom Tov it was, that's when they would pick up the Shulchan and show off the bread that was still warm. But Shavuos, we know, and it's Yisrael, is a one-day Yom Tov. The one day is not necessarily Shabbos. So if the Gemara is teaching us that by the Shalosh Regalim, they would pick up the bread to show off that the bread remained warm, what was with Shavuos if it didn't fall on Shabbos? So he says that they would all stay in Yerushalayim for Shabbos. Even if Shavuos fell during the week, everybody would stay in Yerushalayim for Shabbos so that they should be able to be there to see this incredible demonstration of the Lechem upon him. So the one Shabbos a year that was a big deal that everybody stayed in Yerushalayim was the Shabbos after Shavuos. That's why it became a minig, explained Rav Shor Zatzal, to make a big deal about Shabbos after Shavuos. Because that was a Shabbos that, even though normally you did not have to be in Yerushalayim for Shabbos, the Shabbos after Shavuos, everybody made it their business to be in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda Omer, Aron Shalesh, the Shulchan Shalesh, Aron made out of fire, and a Shulchan made out of fire, or Menorah Shalesh, and a Menorah made out of fire, Yordu Meshmaim, they came down from Shmaim. Rav Moshe, Moshe saw, Vasukam Moshe, and he made these Kalim based on what he saw came down from Shmaim. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Re'eva Seketav Nisam, Asher Atamar Bahar. The Keshetamara means to say that the way it was shown to you from Shemayim, that's the way you should make these Kalim. Elameata asked the Gemara if that's the way we're explaining this pasuk. The pasuk that says the Kemaisa Samishkin Kemishpata Asher Reisa Bahar Hachinami. Are we going to say the same, that a Mishkan came down in the Shemayim? Says the Gemara Hacha, but a Mishkan says Kemishpatoi, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to follow the rules that he was told in making the Mishkan. Hasum Ksiv, but when we speak about these Kleya Mishkan, the Pasuk says Kitav Nisam. I'm showing you the way they're built. I'm showing you in the Shemayim the way they're built. And now your job is to do copy what I showed you. Gavriel Chog Kamin Pesika. Gemara says Gavriel HaMalach was wearing like a belt that a crafts is wearing a belt that a craftsman wears. And he showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to build the menorah. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, v'zeh masa menorah. This is the way v'zeh masa menorah. This is the way the menorah was built. Says the Gemara, Tana Abonin. And why was it Gavriel that was the one that built the menorah more than anyone else? So says the Masha, because Gavriel is the Malach Shalesh. And since Gavriel was the Malach Shalesh, that's why he's the one that using fire made these kelim. Tana de Beir Bishmol. Shlosh Dvar Mayakosh LaMosha. Says the Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with three halachas. Until Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him himself what to do. Veilein, Menorah, as we just discussed, the Menorah, Rosh Chodesh, the halacha of Kiddush HaChodesh, when is the new moon? Kiddush HaChodesh, Rosh Chodesh, when is the new moon? V'shrotzim, which sheretz is Tahor and which sheretz is Tomei? And the Gemara explains, Menorah, the reason he had difficulty with menorah, the ksiv, the zem masa menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to point out the menorah to him. Rosh Chodesh, the ksiv, HaKadosh Hazel Lechem Rosh Chodoshim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu how it looks when it is Rosh Chodesh. Shrotzim, the ksiv, Hazel Lechem HaTamei, Moshe Rabbeinu was pointed out which is the sheretz that is Tamei. And then says the Gemara, V'yesh Omrim, and some suggest Av Hilchas Shechita, Moshe Rabbeinu was not sure how to do a proper Shechita. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, V'zeh Shatasa al Mizbeach. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe Rabbeinu how to do a Shechita. So I saw that why specifically these three things were what was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu. So I saw the Sefer Yalka Divrei Osef. He explains that these three things are the way we represent, the way we are separated from all the other nations, with what we eat, with Menorah, the way we serve Hashem, and Rosh Chodesh. Our time is different than the time of the Umos Olam, to the degree that we count the night and then the day, and they count the day and after the night. And that was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to demonstrate to Moshe Rabbeinu. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to demonstrate to Moshe Rabbeinu is that a Jew is different than someone else. The Brisker Rav asked the question, if, as we're learning now in the Gemara, the menorah came down ready-made from Shemayim, as we began our shiur today, the Torah goes into great detail and explaining how the menorah should be built. Why is it necessary for all those psukim if the menorah came down ready-made from Shemayim? Says the Brisker Rav, even if something comes down ready-made from Shemayim, it is our obligation to make sure that it is halachically correct. And how are we able to make sure it's halachically correct? Follow what it says in the pasuk. And if the menorah came down as it looks and as the pasuk tells us it should look, then we know it's a kosher menorah. I saw that when the Majid Tzur Rebbe came to visit Eretz Yisrael the first time, at that time Eretz Yisrael was still under the control of the British government, and there was a governor. His name was Herbert Samuel, and the Majid Tzur Rebbe came to visit him. And Sir Samuel asked the Rebbe that he's living here in Eretz Yisrael amongst the many different parties of Jews that didn't always have shalom between each other. And why could the Rebbe try to make peace upon them? So the Majid Tzur Rebbe told him, as we're learning now, the sugyas of the menorah. The pasuk says, "Vasisa menorah zov tar." Says the Gemara, as we'll learn, Miksha, and Niskasha Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem making a menorah. Why? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu's issue was that, as we discussed in our previous year, Miksha, that the menorah has to be made out of one piece. That the menorah, he said, represents achdus, that all the various factions and Klal Yisrael, a mixture, come together for the menorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't know how to do it. And that's why it said that only Tiasa, it was made by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he also said, Me'eleha is the same words as Eliyahu, minus the Vav. When Eliyahu will come, the Heshev Lev Ovis Abonim, then Tasa, it won't be Me'eleha. We won't need the menorah to be made by itself. We ourselves will be able to come together to make a menorah. Only when Mashiach comes, with that extra vav, Eliyahu will be Heshev Levavas Abonim Vlebonim Elevaisam, make shalom amongst all of us. And that's the lesson. And here too, says the Sfas Emes, but there's a tremendous lesson from the menorah that we're learning here in the Gemara, that the menorah was built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was only built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Sfas Emes, after we did what we could, Moshe Rabbeinu attempted to build it. And the lesson here is that we have to do what we can do. And after we do what we can do, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the menorah. And I saw along the same line, Lubavitch Rebbe Zatzal would say, that we have to try to make a menorah. The menorah means light. We have to try to bring, it's our obligation to try to bring light to the world. After a Jew tries to bring light to the world, after we try to bring light to the world, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you did yours in trying to bring light to the world. Now I will do what I can to spread that light. One of the things that the Gemara said that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding was Rosh Chodesh. And I saw that many Mepharshim tried to understand the other things we could understand. But why was Rosh Chodesh so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu? So Chashukei Chemed explains, and he quotes a Chinuch. He says, when anything starts, we have to be careful that the first step that we ever do in something has to be done properly and has to be done l'shem shemayim. And that's why he says that many that have a minig, that they don't start anything new on Rosh Chodesh. Because Rosh Chodesh represents a time for starting things properly. And we're not always quite comfortable and quite certain that we could start things properly. So that's why we avoid starting new things on Rosh Chodesh. We learned in the Mishnah that the Shnei Parshas Sheba Mezuzah, that the two parshas that are in any Mezuzah, Makvin Zu Lezu, Vafilo, you have to have both of them to have a kosher Mezuzah. And we furthermore learned, Vafilo Ksav Echad Me'akvan, even if you're missing one letter, then the Mezuzah is possible. Ask the Gemara Pshita, isn't that obvious that if you're missing any of the Mezuzah is not kosher? What is the Gemara coming? What is the Gemara coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yidam Rav LaNitzcha Elokutzu Shel Yud. What's being taught here is that even the point of the Yud has to be done properly. And there are three Pshatim in the Rishonim. What is the definition of the Kutzu Shel Yud? One Pshat is that the Yud at the bottom of the letter has to be pointy, properly pointing. Another that is that when you have a yud, so when you have on the right, you have the top coming up, that has to be pointy, or the bottom of where it's of the left side has to be pointy. And that's the halacha, that's the way a yud has to be written. And if it isn't written that way, the mezuzah is not kosher. But ask the Rav Anami Pshita, isn't that obvious? That's the way a yud is written. And if the yud isn't written properly, it's not a good mezuzah. Says the Mara, what it's coming to teach us It's coming to teach us another halacha that Rabbi Yehuda Marav taught us. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Marav, kol eis she'ein mukav lei ma'arba chasal, that there is an empty klaf around the letter, where one letter is attached to another letter, the halacha is psula. And ksav achad ma'akvon, therefore what the Mishnah means is, what the Mishnah is teaching us is, that every letter has to be very clearly, separately identified. Says the Gemara, Amma Ashian Bad Natbach Mishmei Rabbi Yehuda. Nikav B'toichai. If Shalhei. If there's a hole in the small leg of the hay. The halacha is, if you have stum ink left there, kosher, it's still kosher. Yirechai, but if the right side of the hay, that leg has a hole, then the halacha will be that it's possible. Amar Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira explains, L'adim mefashlem mered Rav Huna. I heard this from Rav Huna. Rav Yaakov amemedim mefashlem mered Rav Yehuda. He says, I heard it from Rav Yehuda. Nikev toichai shel hay. If the small leg of the hay has a hole, then the mezuzah is kosher. Yirechai, but if the right leg has a hole, then the halacha is im nishtaybay kshir ois ktana. If it's still as big as a yud, then it's going to be kosher. But in lav, if you don't have that much space, if you don't have that much area, it's possible. Says the Gemara, Agra chamud Rav Abba. Agra was the father-in-law of Rav Abba. If shlokar the hay, the tefillin that he had, the hay of the word ha'om, b'yom Moshe el ha'om, that hay got a hole in it. B'nikfa. Also came to Rabbi Abba, and he came to Rabbi Abba, his son-in-law, to ask him if those tefillin are kosher or not. Amalei, to which Rabbi Abba responded, if it still has enough to look like a yod, kosher. Vimlav, but if not, then it's going to be possible. Says the Gemara, Rami ba-Tamri, the Chome de Rami ba-Dukli. Rami ba-Chome, who was the father-in-law of Rami ba-Dukli. It's interesting how this Gemara is used, that it says in the Sefer Chassidim that a father-in-law and a son-in-law should not have the same name. Yet in our Gemara, we find that Rami and was the father-in-law of Rami. So we see that they had the same name. So there are many answers to this. Some suggest that Rami and Rami are not the same name. Another answer is what the Noida Behuda says. The Noida Behuda says that the Tzavos, what the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes in the Tzavos, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes in the Sefer Chassidim, he only meant for his family. But this is not something that was, and this was obviously not his family. These Amoraim lived before Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Another pshat that I saw is that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid only felt that the things that he mentioned in the Tzava of Yehuda Chassid are only applicable from his time and on. The Gemara was before that time. And another pshat that I saw is that apparently there were different times in history if people called their father-in-law by the same name or not, by their name. So in the time where Rabbi Yehuda Chassid lived in a time where people called their father-in-law by their name. If you call your father-in-law by his name, so then you have to be careful that they shouldn't have the same name, because that name, when it's used in the house, it won't be clear who is meant and who wasn't meant. But in a time where people don't call each other by the same name, we don't have to have these concerns. But it's interesting that the father-in-law and son-in-law seemingly had the same name. So it says the Gemara, Rami Batamri du Chamud, the Rami Batakuli, Ifsakli Kar Devav. The tefillin, the Vav in the Pasuk, Vihik Shek Shaparo Lashach Kenu, Vihar Geshem Kabachabar Mitzrayim, the Vav of that letter got a hole, Venikva. And also Kamed Rav Zeira, and they came to Rav Zeira to ask if that tefillin are kosher or not. Amalei, so Rav Zeira said, Zil Aisi Nuka, bring a young child, d'lechachem v'loy tippish, not overly smart and not overly foolish, ikarlei v'yarig, if he'll read the letter properly, kosher. Eloi, if he will read the vav, not as a vav, but he will read the vav as a yod, so then it's a proof that it's possible because it's supposed to be a vav and not a yod. And I saw a very interesting psak from Rav Zilberstein Zatzal in a Sefer Chashukei Chemed. He said that there was a Sefer Torah that had questions on the kashrus of the Sefer Torah. And because they had questions on the kashrus of the Sefer Torah, they did as the Gemara here suggests. They brought the Sefer Torah to a child to read the letter and let's see what he'll come up with. How will he read the letter? And he read the letter, and we had it twice, such a letter in the Sefer Torah. And one time, let's use our Gemara's example, one time he read it as a Vav, and one time he read it as a Yud. And it was difficult to understand this child, because it was exactly the same in both places. But he read it every time the way it's supposed to be written, the way it's supposed to be written in the Sefer Torah. And according to the way he wrote that, he read those letters, the Sefer Torah was a kosher Sefer Torah. But it was inconsistent. So what's the halacha? Will the Sefer Torah be kosher? Or do we say that this child is being inconsistent and therefore, because he's being inconsistent, we can't really pay attention to what he says? So Rav Zilberstein says is that this is exactly what our Gemara means to teach us. The Gemara doesn't mean to say, but we don't know what this letter is. And the way we're going to be able to figure out what the letter is by asking the child. He says, what the Gemara is telling us is, the Gemara is giving us a halacha. The Gemara is telling us, when you have a shayla in a Sefer Torah, what do? You bring the child. And whatever the child says, that's going to be how we're going to treat the Sefer Torah. And the fact that we have this inconsistency doesn't make a difference. The halacha establishes that we establish the kashrus of the Sefer Torah based on what the child says. And the fact that we don't understand what's going on here because we see this inconsistency with the child is immaterial. Amar Yudam Rav, B'shar Shalom Moshe L'moroim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim, Matzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosef V'Kayis V'Ksarim L'Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making crowns on the letters of the Sefer Torah. Why are those crowns necessary? There's going to be a person after many generations. There's going to be a great person many years later that's going to take from every one of these crowns and teach us many halachas. Amma Lafanov, Rabbanu Shalom, Harayoli. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked, I'd like to see this great individual. Amloi Chazal Lacharecha. Go sit back of the rows. Halach V'yosh B'soyv Shemana Shuritz. Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyachal was sitting in the Beis Medrash where Akiva was giving a shir in the back of eight rows. V'loyidei Mayan Oimrim. And Moshe Rabbeinu could not understand what was being said. And Toshish Kaichai, he felt very weak that there was this person who was so much greater of a Talmud Chacham than he is. Kiyun Shigiyah Davachad, and the Shir is going on, and a Talmud asks Rabbi Kiva a question. Normally, Talmud, the Rabbi Menailach, and Rabbi Kiva said whatever halacha he said, and the Talmud asks Rabbi Kiva, how do you know this halacha? Amalam halacha l'mashim Sinai. He gave credit to halacha, halacha l'mashim Sinai. At that point, the Shiashva Dotsday, Moshe Rabbeinu felt a little more comfortable that he saw that his learning is the basis for everything else. But at that point, says the Gemara, Chazabal Fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Fnei Baruch Shalom, Yesh Lach Adam Kazeh, you're going to have such a great individual, Vata Noisen Torah Al Yodi, and you're giving the Torah through me, Amar Lefanov, and Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Shtoik, you have to be quiet. And what is the explanation? So the Sefer Tzion Kedoshim explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was on a so much higher level than Rabbi Akiva, because Moshe Rabbeinu, as a live person, was still able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Akiva was not. So then, Amar Lefanav, at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's the case, Hareani Terasa, Hareani Scharai. If Rabbi Akiva is such a great person, please show me his schar. Amar Chazal Lecharecha. Go back. Chazal Lecharev, Ron Shishaklim, Besarai, B'makulin. We know that Rabbi Akiva was tortured and his skin was torn to pieces as he was killed. Is this the schar that he deserves? And again, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Soik, kach ol b'machshav l'fonai, this is what I want to do. And many Mefarshim explain that what Kadosh Baruch Hu meant to say to Moshe Rabbeinu was that what Kadosh Baruch Hu meant to tell Moshe Rabbeinu was that we know, as Rashi says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he wanted to create it with Midas Adin. But he saw that the world could not exist with Midas Adin. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, most people can't survive with Midas Adin, but Rabbi Akiva can. The three letters of the alabes, that when we write them, they have to have crowns. Ve'elem shatneskats. Arav Ashi, chazin alu sifri, devakta de beirav. I saw the svarim that were written in Rav's yeshiva, that they were very careful in writing the letters properly. The chatra legage de ches, that they would make like a point on the top of the letter ches. V'taloluk l'kar de hey. And the letter hey, they would put separate, they would not let it be connected to the top. And the Gemara explains, chatra legage de ches, klama chayhu baruma shloilam. The Ches represents for Kadosh Baruch Hu that lives forever, and he's in the Shemayim. Tala l'kar dehei, what was the purpose of doing so? Kedbayim nei Rabbi Yehuda ben Nasi ben Rambami. Ma'adik siv, the Pasuk says, B'tchu b'Hashem adi ad, ki b'ka Hashem tzura alomim. Amalei, to say, kol ha'payel tala b'tchanu b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, anybody who relies on Kadosh Baruch Hu, harei loy machse ba'el ma'azel loy ma'ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him here and the next world. Amalei, anach kashalei. My question was, Mashna, why does the Pasuk say, because, like Siv Ka, Ki Ka Hashem Tzar Olamim, answered the Gemara Kedosh Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. Ela Shnei Namas, the Hei and Yud, represent the two worlds that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. Echad Bais Hei, one was created with the letter Hei, Ve'echad B'Yud, and one was created with the letter Yud. Ve'ni Yedei, but I'm not quite certain, Im Olam Haba B'Yud, Ve'olam Hazeh B'Hei, or Im Olam Hazeh B'Yud, Ve'olam Haba B'Hei. K'shoyim E'elu Tadus HaShemai V'Aretz B'Hi Barom, Al Tikre B'Hi Barom, El B'Hei Barom. So we see, Hava Olam, Olam Hazeh B'Hei. This world was created with the Hei, Ve'olam Haba with Yud. Why indeed was Olam Hazeh created with a hay? Neshudaim lech sadra. A hay doesn't have three full walls. Shakala roitz lotzeis yotze. Anybody wants to leave and do what's improper, he may. On my time, Italian, why is the hay at the bottom? The chazab tshuva, that if a person does tshuva, ma'ailele, he'll be able to go back through that opening from the left side. So ask the Gemara Lagailahai, why doesn't he open it up from, why doesn't he just go in from the bottom? So the Gemara, Loim Stai Milsa. Because the bottom is a person that hit bottom. And a person who hit bottom is difficult to move up. If somebody wants to do what's right, they give him the ability to do what's right. If somebody doesn't do what's right, we have bechira, but we don't make it easy. Here, explain the Mefarshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching us through the letter Hey, not that only that do we all have the ability to do tshuva. But actually, what happens is that it becomes easy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it easy for us to do tshuva. And I saw many pshatim. One pshat is because the opening is right next to the tap. When somebody does tshuva, he is, after he does tshuva, he's put right next to the tap. Another pshat that I saw is the Baal HaTar Mesinai Soi. If somebody, Baal HaTar, even if he wants to do right, still Mesinai Soi. Everybody needs Siyat D'Shmaya. Nothing happens without Siyat D'Shmaya. On the other hand, I saw from the Klaus Magareba, HaBaal HaTar, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for us is to try to do what's right. Baal HaTar, then if you try to do what's right, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. And another pshat that I saw from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, Baal HaTar, if you are a person that takes it upon yourself, Baal HaTar, to try to help make other people do what's right, then Mesinai Soi, you get a special Shiata D'Shmaya that you will be successful. My Tama Islay Taga, why does the letter Hey have a crown? But if a person does tshuva and nikoshloi keser, I will put a crown on his head. Why was Olam Haba created with yud? Tzadikim shabai me'atim, says the Gemara, because there are not many tzadikim, and we have to have just a yud that are in Olam Haba. Why is the letter yud have something that's bent? When we speak about tzadikim, kafir rishayim, they're always keeping their head down. They're all modest. And they want to show respect one from the other. No two tzaddikim are the same. Every tzaddik excels in something else. But each tzaddik himself has the respect for the other tzaddik.